Galatians 4, and we've been looking at on Sunday evenings the spiritual or the Christian vocabulary. And I should have reworded it a little bit of maybe a Bible believer's vocabulary. Christianity as a whole is kind of used a wide paintbrush on that one, because there's a lot of people in there we don't agree with and such. But for the most part, we're talking about biblical, if you will, vocabulary. And we've gone through several words already that have been a great help, I know, to myself and nobody else. And looked at justification, we looked at regeneration, we looked at propitiation, words that are very vital to the Christian and very vital to our beliefs and to our doctrine. We know that. Now tonight we come to Galatians chapter 4, and we're going to look at a word, adoption. Adoption and what it means. You know, people are confused about this term adoption in Scripture. Paul is the only one in Scripture to use this term. And so we see here Galatians 4. Notice we'll jump down verse 4. He says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law." Notice this, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So we see here Paul is speaking, as you know, to the churches of Galatia, that region, and he's talking about the adoption of sons. Now the term used here, translated adoption in our English, it appears five times in Scripture. We're going to look at a couple of those here tonight. Romans 8:15, Romans 8:23, Romans 9:4, and Galatians 4 verse 5 we just read. And then again in Ephesians 1, verse 5. And we know that. The word adoption, it means the placing of a son. And so we see here, understanding adoption presents a problem because of our modern practice of adoption. You think of adoption as you, I do, I know you do as well, but that you take and go, and maybe you go to some type of agency or something, and they have children there up for adoption. And you know, God bless those people that do adopt those children, especially in the Bible-believing homes. They would never have a shot outside of that, of ever knowing Christ and such. But you go to an agency or something of that nature, and you adopt a child. Well, that child is not of your blood. They're not biologically yours. And you see, now we have a couple friends that have adopted children from outside of America, and you obviously can see that they're not part of that family. I mean, they weren't born into that family due to, you know, you see their different skin colors or different other things of that nature. We see here, that's the term we look at as we think of adoption now. People get confused about adoption, biblical adoption, and they believe it to be synonymous with our ideology of adoption today, that God picks and chooses who He wants to take into His family and He rejects other people, you know. I'll take you, you, and you, but you two, I don't want, you know. And that's not true. That's not what biblical adoption is. And we're going to look at that here in a minute. As we understand what adoption means, it's presented to us, given to us. And I'm so thankful for the adoption, biblical adoption. Now, we think about this. I found this interesting here. It says that there was a Roman custom which shed some light on the problem we have with this word adoption. When a senator's son reached the age of 16, he was officially declared in a public ceremony to be of age and to be heir to his father's possession. Paul was a well-educated Roman citizen as well as a Greek scholar. He knew this, and therefore he translated the Roman term into the Greek word the Holy Spirit wanted him to use to describe this wondrous act of God, and meaning the same thing, that he was of age, and we're of age in that way. As he begins in this text here of being an heir, he says the heir differs from the child. Now, what is adoption? Adoption as applied to a child of God is much different from the understanding we have today, as we already talked about. When a child is adopted into a family, the parents can give their name, their address, their home, their wealth, their learning. They can give all of that to the children, but they cannot give the child their nature, right? Thinking through that. Again, we talked about being regenerated. We're given the nature, if you will, the genes, in a lot of ways, of our Father, of our Lord. Now, adoption is not how we enter into God's family. We talked some about that a while back, but it's not how we enter in. God does not pick and choose who He wants in that nature, that way, I should say, right? Because we know in 2 Peter 3:9, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all, A-L-L, all should come to repentance. And God is not looking down and saying, well, I like you and you, but you two bother me and irritate me and I don't want anything to do with you, right? No, it's not how we already talked about, we enter by birth. which we labeled regeneration. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Again, this is not a fantasy or a feeling. It's a fact of the Bible that we have to take by faith, right? We have to understand that. Adoption, we think, well, I feel adopted into God. So, oh, I just feel it. No, you don't. It's a fact. You got to believe it. You take it for what it is. And we understand we enter it by regeneration. We receive God's nature, 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. By these you might be the partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. That's 2 Peter 1:4. We are given God's nature. We receive the adoption of sons. So he says here in verse 5 again of our text, to redeem them. What was the purpose? What was the purpose of God sending forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law? Notice that. The purpose was to redeem them that were under the law. You remember Jesus said it himself. Luke 19, what's he say? Son of man has come, what? That he may what? Seeking to save that which was lost. And we think about it, that was his purpose, his goal, and we know that. And so we see here to redeem them. As we looked at the word redemption already, he took us out of the slave market. He took us into his home and said, you're no longer labeled a slave, if you will. You're mine. He might adopt us. They adopt us. And because we're sons, God sent forth the spirit of a son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Again, an identifying mark or birthmark, if you will, of our father is that we have the spirit inside of us. And we know that. We have the spirit inside. We cry out to God, Abba, Father. That's an endearing term, right? Saying, if you will, Papa, Daddy, whatever you say, Dad, help me, you know, I need your help, buy me this, get me this, you know, whatever you would say. That's what he's saying. Abba, Father, we have that desire, that familial love of a child, a parent, if you will. Now thinking through this, we receive that adoption. This adoption, secondly, gives us adult standing in God's family and makes us heirs, if you will, as he mentions here in chapter 4, adult standing. Now, this is something we need to understand. At the moment of salvation, we received an instant adult standing. We received instant adult privileges, instant adult responsibilities. You may be a baby Christian as far as your experience goes, but you are not a baby child of God. And I like that. You think about it. We have all that we need to grow. We have all that we need. A baby, when it's born, has all that it needs. It doesn't add a kidney when it gets 5 years old and add a lung when it gets 17. Has all it needs, all it has to, what? It just needs growth. And everything grows. And that's what we are. We're growing. Now again, thinking about this, we have received adult privileges. You remember when you were younger? You couldn't wait to be an adult. I mean, I couldn't wait. Ah, I want to be an adult. You get an adult, what do you say? I wish I was a kid again. You know, I wish I didn't have to do all this stuff, these responsibilities, these problems, these headaches. Oh, I wish I was that. Isn't that the story go? We're receiving an adult standing. Now, we see here some of the privileges of this adoption. We come through and think about that. God's given us this. He's put us into his family. He's adopted us and given us responsibility. Work in particular was given to Adam and Eve, but Adam in particular for what? As a gift, wasn't it? It was a privilege. The world today has made that into something. And maybe some of you have a job that you say, well, I don't think of it that way as a privilege or a gift. But you think about, it's given to us in that nature, an adult standing. We give responsibilities and accountability from God. We're given that. And that's something that we receive from a loving father because he loves us. He cares for us. And he doesn't treat us like maybe a baby, if you will. He encourages us to grow and to develop. Now, let's go to Romans 8, because I want you to see here a few things. As Paul talks about this adoption a little bit more in detail, let me get over there. Romans 8, you folks know your scripture, know this wonderful portion of scripture in Romans 8. The entire chapter is very, very applicable and very helpful to the Christian, obviously. In Romans 8, let's go down to verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There it is again. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be received in us. Now, there's some special privileges that we receive as being adopted. I can't imagine a little, maybe let's, for instance, a little boy sitting in a little adoption agency has been completely abandoned by his parents. And he doesn't maybe know, he's a young boy, maybe 3 or 4 years old, but completely abandoned. He has nothing, he has no, literally nowhere to live, nowhere to go. And can you imagine a millionaire coming in, a very wealthy family, multi-millionaire family, and they say, we want that kid. And that kid comes and they sign the paperwork, do all the deed, and bring him into the home. And that boy grows up in that home, privileged, wealthy, not a care in the world. And one day they come to him and say, son, I got to tell you something. You weren't born in this home. He says, oh, I wasn't? No, and they tell him the story. Can you imagine that? All that comes to that little boy, or now maybe an adult man. Wow, I had absolutely nothing. I was abandoned. I was rejected, and you took me in. You took me in. And you think about that. I ran through my head as I was preparing and studying. What an amazing, amazing thing that would be to think about. And you think here today that we have a wonderful privilege in being in God's family. He says we're an adult. We have adult privileges. We have an adult standing. As an adult, you have privileges, obviously, that children don't have. You have freedom that children don't have. And children have freedom that we don't have, and vice versa, and all those things. But you think about it. Why do kids want to be adults? Well, because they see you have and can do basically whatever you want to do, you know? I go where I want to. I can buy whatever I want to do. I can really go anywhere I want to in a really restricted way in some ways. You think about, though, this is the desire. And so just coming back to, he's given us an adult standing. He doesn't adopt us into the family and go, okay, now you can't do this and this and this and that. And people mistake things about their relationship with God. They say it's all about rules, and it's not. When you understand and submit yourself to Christ, you have more freedom than you can ever even swallow. You can't even contain it. I have so much freedom and liberty. I don't know what to do with it. I have so many blessings. As soon as you bucket that system and get out and try and get on top of God's authority, what happens? You're instantly constricted if you're a saved child of God. Instantly. There's conviction and chastening and all those things that happen, and I can't do anything. And I wish more people, especially young people, would learn that, right? And grasp that and understand. We have liberty and freedom, but coming back to this and understanding, God's given us these privileges. We're led of the Spirit. Now notice verse 14 again, for as many as are led of by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We're led of the Spirit and can walk in the Spirit. A baby can't walk or be led. It must be carried. Must be carried. So again, coming back to that, he's given us out of respect, responsibility. He loves us, cares for us. I want to adopt you so that I can use you. I don't want to adopt you so that you can be my slave. I don't want to adopt you so that I can, you know, tell you what to do, what not to do. I've adopted you so that I can use you, so that your life can be enhanced. The disciples said, Lord, what's in it for us? What do we get? Lord says, not only all that you have now, but what's coming. I've given you more than you can even contain, more than you deserve, that's for sure. The unsaved cannot walk by the Spirit, clearly in Ephesians 2. You're dead in trespasses and sins. They're led by the prince of this world, the Bible says. And we see here, thirdly, a Christian can walk at the moment of birth, meaning there's no excuses. You can walk at the moment of birth. At the moment of being regenerated, you can walk. I'm so glad that in God's divine plan that babies, as soon as they're born, cannot walk, aren't you? They would be everywhere. They're already a handful at, you know, 2, 3 years old. You think about that. Boy, they'd be off. As soon as they come out, we make a joke sometimes, they came out walking, you know, they just hit the road, walk down the road. You think about that, though, spiritually, that God has blessed us and given us that we can walk at the moment of regeneration, being adopted into the family of God. We have no excuses. Well, I'm just not there yet. I'm just not ready yet. I'm just not mature yet. Remember, Paul said that. Again, fellas, ladies, I came and wanted to give you meat. I couldn't. Had to give you the milk. Had to take care of you and coddle you and hold your hand. We have no excuse. No, again, we're able to walk. We can walk in obedience to the Spirit. We can walk in newness of life, he says in Romans 6:3. We can walk after the Spirit, Romans 8, as we said this morning, and John 12, he says, walk in the light. Be active. That's your responsibility. Be moving, be studying, be preparing, be holy, be sanctified. These are things that we apply and use. So not only that, are we led by the Spirit, being adopted, we then enjoy the freedom that we have. Verse 15, Romans 8. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage. There's a spirit of bondage. Again to fear. Bondage brings fear. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now again, that endearing term. We come to God and say, God, I need this, I want that, all of those things. But Paul later will say to the church at Philippi, what? God shall supply all your need, singular. People often misquote that and say, God will supply all your needs, plural. It's not say that. It says need, singular, meaning your current need. What do you have? God, solve all of my problems. That's what people say, don't they? Solve all of my needs. God says, no. You need to need it more than you need to have it. And he says, I'll handle right now what you need. You focus in on that. Not my will, but thine be done. I want to know your will, Lord. Now, knowing this, we enjoy the freedom from the law. The law binded man. We know that bound him. It cursed him. Galatians 4:5, he says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive that adoption of sons. Not only the bondage of the law, the bondage of fear, he says, of fear. Hebrews 2:15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You know, the average man today is afraid of death, aren't they? They're afraid to die. We're here tonight. We're not afraid to die. For me, I'm not afraid to die. I'm sad, and I'd be heartbroken to leave the kids behind, you know. I'd be heartbroken to leave the family behind. That's what would hurt me. But the fear of death doesn't bother us. We know who in whom we have believed. We're ready to go. We know where we're going. We know who holds the key to our door. We know that. But we understand people are fearful. And that's what he says. The spirit of bondage. You're in bondage of fear. Fear. People walk around in fear. It's funny to me. People don't think about death until they're in their golden years, don't they? A lot of them. Oh, I better start thinking about it now. And so sad. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Power and love, a sound mind. We don't have the fear. When you have fear of certain things, there's a healthy fear of God, by the way, we know that. But you have fear, you instantly need to give that to God because that's not from Him. You have a fear. Now, we know not to touch hot things, and we know not to go 86 miles an hour on the highway, although I do that sometimes. But what do we say? I know that God gives me a fear in those areas. But to fear things often, as we mostly fear, we fear finances, we fear disease, we fear our in-laws or outlaws or whatever. We fear certain things. You ought not to. And you think about, He's given us the sound mind, power, love, sound mind. 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Talking about that, the perfectness that we have to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, thinking about some of these characteristics of being adopted. Let me see here. Next, we can speak. We can speak. He says in verse 15, we cry out. We cry. Notice that term. Wonderful word to underline, circle, and study out in the Bible, the word cry, cry out. You remember the demon-possessed people. What happened? Jesus came and removed them. Literally, I hate to use the term, but exorcised the demons out of them. He called them out. And what happened to them? They cried out. They cried out. Literally a painful thing. They tried to literally kill the individuals, tore them in half, but they cried out. Wonderful things. You think about Scripture. We cry now, not to sinful things, not to satanic things. We cry out to Abba Father. Jesus hung on the cross and it said, but He cried out. We know that. And we think about all of that. But wonderful, we cry out. We can speak. Notice that babies cannot speak at birth. Christians are able to talk at the instant of birth, instantaneously there. Talking about being regenerated, adopted into. Okay? Now, I'm saying all of this by way of birth and having an instant adult status, because a lot of people confuse it, say, well, you're chosen at birth to be saved and you're not. And that's not true. You're chosen to be adopted by God into His family at birth, and physical birth. And that's not true. We understand. We think about some of these things. We can speak. We can talk to God in prayer. We can talk to God in our witness. Again, witnessing, sharing the gospel. Let me say next, we have assurance. We have assurance. Verse 16, notice this in Romans 8. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. We're the children of God. People often say, how do you know you're saved? You go, I know I'm saved. I know it. The Spirit witnesses with my spirit. I know it. There's assurance inside, and I know that. By the way, you can always, usually tell when someone else is saved. Why? Because your spirit will, like a magnet almost, not in personality. You don't connect right away in personality, but the spirit is there. You go, yeah, he's saved. She's saved. I can see that. Again, and we don't know each other's hearts. Again, let me be clarifying on that. But you know that. Our spirit, the capital S spirit, itself beareth witness with our spirit. We're the children of God. There's assurance given to us by the Spirit of God. Again, babies don't know themselves or their parents. Christians know the Father and have intimacy with the Father in our relationship, instantly knowing Him. We have next an inheritance given to us. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer, that we may be also glorified together. We know that. We have an inheritance. Christians are instantly made joint heirs with Christ. We have the riches of His grace, the riches of His wisdom. The Bible says the riches of His mercy. It says the riches of His glory. All of that we have in Him. We're part of the family. We're part of that. We're part of the wealth of that family. We're part of the inheritance. We have the name. Right? We have it all. And we can have it all in Christ. Now again, coming back to this here, we are then next allowed to suffer. Why? Because we identify with Him. You know, the disciples, Jesus came to the disciples and He promised them many things, several things, but He said this, you'll have fearlessness, you'll have an abundant happiness and joy, and He says you'll be in constant trouble. You'll be in constant trouble. You'll have persecution, and many of you, as you know, He says, you'll probably be killed. And He describes in particular for Peter what Peter will go through at the end of that in the latter part of the Gospel of John, but we're allowed to suffer. Verse 17, if so be that we suffer with him. Now again, we see here Christians are allowed to suffer with Christ. It's a part of the adult treatment, builds our character, our spiritual muscles, and helps us to be what we're supposed to be for Him. It teaches us about God's grace, prepares us for the future glory. Hebrews 5 verse 7 says, and who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death, and was heard in that He feared, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. Learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. You and I learn inevitably, as much as we don't want to think about it or go through it, we learn obedience through suffering, don't we? We learn to rely upon God. We learn to rely upon Him and Him alone. We learn that He's the only way. He's my only help. He's my only strength through any of it. We learn all of that through suffering, through heartaches, through pain, through difficulties. It's part of that and builds our character. So then we see here, how do we enjoy this adoption? How do we enjoy it? Now notice some things here. We must believe God's word. Again, adoption is not a feeling, it's a fact. How do I enjoy this adoption? What do I do? We must believe it's a fact. Thinking through this and understanding it. Let's go to 1 John 3. 1 John 3, I have written down here. Let me turn there, because I'll misquote it if I try and read it off the top of my head here. 1 John chapter 3. Notice what he says. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. There it is. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. Now, how do we enjoy this? We must believe God's word. We have all that we need. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. If you're a son of God, if you're a daughter of God, if you're an heir, joint heir with Christ in God, you're adopted into the family of God. You know this fact that the world does not like you. The world does not love you. The world will try and coddle you and pat you on the back and make you feel good, but they do not love you. Their intentions are evil. Their intentions are not pure. God loves us and cares for us. When Christians, I get so irritated, Christians try to coddle up with the world and try and kind of blend that line and take the white and the black and make it a gray line, if you will. It destroys them, destroys their family, their marriages, destroys their spiritual walk, obviously. But you think about it. He says, I want you to come out of the world. You know that. If you're a son of God, he says, consider the manner of love that he bestowed upon us. That love ought to separate you from the world and keep you from worldly things, and keep you a desire for godly things. Our heart wanes and our heart naturally drifts towards worldly things, love of worldly things. I was in the store yesterday and I looked around and I thought it'd be a good idea to find me a new TV. And I looked around and I thought, man, I'm going to buy that one. That one's nice. And then I figured out it wasn't the right one and this and that. And I went back and forth and I thought finally, forget it. I'm just going to wait. You know, just wait. But my heart wanes and leans towards that stuff, doesn't it? I want that. I want that. I want to be a part of that. I want to have that. I've got to have something like that. And you think about some of that stuff. Some many things are innocent, but if you consider the manner of love that God bestowed upon us, that He would adopt us, bring us into His family, boy, you're challenged with that. How do I enjoy this adoption? Believe God's word. Let me say secondly, we must yield to the Spirit of God. Yield to the Spirit of God. Understanding that, as we saw, that the Spirit, thinking about this, notice verse 16 of our text, 1 John chapter 3. He says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Who has so hath this world's good, and seeth his brother of need, shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwelt the love of God in him? Who has yielded to the Spirit? Let the Spirit lead us. He's a spirit of adoption. We have that in us. He's leading. His leading is proof of our sonship. Our sonship, again, His leading, His direction, His conviction. I said last week that often people take conviction as a very negative word. Conviction's a gift that we've been given. Conviction is a sweet gift from God, and He convicts us although we don't like it. Lord, no, I do want that. He says, you don't need it. I do desire to say that or do that or go there, right? He says, no, you don't. Conviction. We sin, we mess up, there's conviction, and the Bible clearly says here in 1 John especially 1, we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's true. He, again, just identifying with this, His leading is proof of our sonship in Him. And then let me say thirdly here, we must treat ourselves the way God treats us. Talking about adoption, what is adoption? He takes us after we have been regenerated, redeemed, justified, and He brings us into His family. We have instant adult status in that. And He says, do you want this? We say, absolutely, Lord. I've adopted you into my family. You're no longer part of the world. You're no longer part of that system. You now serve me and love me. We must treat ourselves, though, the way God treats us. How does God treat us? Can I say a few things? We need to stop complaining about suffering and stop asking God to give us toys and fun things. Oh, I want toys. The kids, I want toys. Adults, you know, we do that too, don't we? Toys, I want a toy. Our toys just get bigger and more expensive. Stop complaining. Stop asking God for toys. Good night, Lord, you know I could use that. You know I need that. The reason He hasn't given it to me is because I don't need it. I don't need it. Treat ourselves the way God treats us in thinking about this. We don't complain. Lord, I'm suffering again. God says, yeah, that's because you're part of my family. Lord, why do I got to go through that again? Well, because you're part of me. You're part of my family. You have my last name. You're part of the family of God. You have to suffer. It's just part of it. It's part of it. It's building you, gaining. Let me say secondly, ask God to give you the tools and not the toys. The tools you need and the weapons you need to both build and battle. Build and battle. The unique characteristic of a child of God is that we build and we battle simultaneously. Anytime you build something, you're going to battle. Nehemiah got up on the wall, as you recall, and he started to build. Everyone around him, you would have thought, people around would have said, man, God bless you. That's a great thing. I don't agree with you, but I think that's great. You're building. That wasn't it, was it? A lot of people came over. Sanballat, Tobiah came over and said, look at that guy. He's an idiot. He's a fool. Excuse me, I shouldn't say that word. He's a fool. He's, look at him. If fox goes up on the wall, it's going to break it down, right? And anytime you build anything, especially for God, you know that, there's going to be a battle come. A battle. You battle, 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 battle. The book of Joshua has been labeled by many scholars as the book of building and battling, didn't they? They went across, they went, first thing they hit was Jericho. They hit Jericho, they saw the walls crumble, an unconventional way they battled, didn't they? They marched around the city and the walls fell. They took the city, one of the largest and strongest cities of that time in that region. And their fame went out through all the valley and they went forward and they built, but then they had to battle. They built and battled, built and battled. I'm talking about as we are adopted into the family of God, know something that as you begin to build, God expects you to build something. He expects you to build a marriage and expects you to build children for the glory of God and expects you to build your finances to the glory of God and all of that. You folks have heard all of that before. But He expects you to build. Simultaneously, though, you're going to suffer. You're going to battle. You battle. Lord, why must I battle? We treat ourselves the way God treats us. And God, thank you for allowing me to be part of your family. Thank you for allowing me to suffer in this way or go through this thing. It's so easy to preach and so easy to say it. It's hard to live it. But tonight, are you a believer? Are you a Christian? If so, you're living up to your privileges. You're living up to your privileges. You have privileges. Some of you and us, myself included, we don't take advantage of the privileges. We don't ever cash in on that. We don't ever cash in. I heard the story of a fella He got a letter in the mail one day, and it was a letter from some attorney. And he opened it up, and sure enough, it was a part of the will of a great aunt he didn't even ever know, he didn't ever meet. And she left him like $1.5 million or something, a massive amount of money. He thought about that for a while, and he called up his family, the aunt's children, his uncles, and said, hey, she said, left me all this money, and I don't feel right taking it. I didn't even know this lady. And they said to the effect of, well, no, you keep it. You didn't know her, but she knew you, and she prayed for you often, and she loved you. And that touched his heart, and the story went on that he obviously came to know the Lord through that because of that generosity of that woman. I think I would have as well, 1.5 million. No, I'm kidding. But you think about that. I read that story. I thought about that, you know. And you think through, are we living up to our privileges? Man, that guy didn't do anything to deserve any of that, but we get the wonderful privileges. We didn't do anything to deserve our salvation, did we? We didn't do anything. And God's so gracious to us. Oh, usually what we do, if you're like me, there's disobedience, there's ungratefulness, all of that. And God says, Tim, I'm going to bless you. Still want you to have the privileges that I've given you. Let me close out here. If you're a Christian, you've received the adoption. It gives you an adult standing in the family of God. This means you have a responsibility. You do not run from suffering. You do not waste your inheritance. You have assurance. You've been born again, and then you tell others. You have the privilege of speaking to God and for God, and you have the freedom of walking with God. Walking with God. You have the freedom to walk with God. And you think about that. I pray that you would pray as I pray often, Lord, help me to be a tool that you can use, a tool and something that you could use to reach other people and help other people. And again, we think about here tonight, are you in the family of God? I must say that every service, but are you in the family of God? I look around and I know most of you are, and I praise God for that. But are you in the family of God? Are you adopted? That story goes, Paul gives that analogy there, being adopted into the family of God. What a wonderful privilege we have. Wonderful to think about. Not only are we justified, not only are we regened, not only are we redeemed out of the slave market, but we are adopted now into the family of God. God with open arms says, come in. And not only come in and enjoy all the privileges, but you can call me Father. Abba, Father. Cry out to me. Ask me what you will. So many religions around the world, as you know, have a distant God, a harsh God, a God that is mean, a God that's angry. I think about the Muslims. Pray for them, and I know you do. Their God is angry. He's if you've ever read some of the Quran, it is harsh. He's hateful. He's not one you would come, Abba Father. That's not that God. The Hindus, their gods, millions of gods, others that they have around the world established these fake and false gods. Our God, the God of the Bible, is a loving, caring God that loves us and cares for us, adopted into the family of God. I hope you are, and I pray you are. But share this with other people. We know that. Continue to be faithful, being a testimony, being a witness to the people around you, because I want other people to enjoy this adoption. Just like that little boy was adopted, had nothing, did nothing. In fact, if he would have never been adopted, he would have gone off into this world and just been another statistic. But some family came in, adopted him, took him into their home, gave him everything that he ever needed above and beyond that. Did he have to have everything perfect? Was he sinless? Absolutely not. He had trials and problems just like every other kid. He had went through all the problems every other human being went through. But listen, he was so grateful that he was adopted into that family. Oh, my friends, tonight we have the adoption of sons of God, heirs, joint heirs with Christ. Amen? All right, I'll stop there tonight. Hope that was a blessing to you. Continue, Lord willing, and next week we'll wrap it up with I have two more that I'd like to cover, and we'll wrap it up there. But I hope that's been a blessing and a help to you understand the God we serve. Oh, what a wonderful Lord. Amen. All right, Lord, thank you so much again for an opportunity tonight to share your word. And I'm so thankful, especially, Lord, for these children. They listen so well, Lord, and they sit here very quietly, very respectfully. Thank you for that, Lord. I pray you bless them because of that. Lord, I pray something said would penetrate their hearts that they won't forget, Lord, for the rest of their lives. And they think about, I pray for us, Lord, here. I pray that you'd strengthen us. We think about the adoption, what a privilege we have. We are so undeserved, Lord. We've done nothing to deserve any of that. But you and your magnificent grace that we can't even fathom or understand have taken us into your home. As filthy and dirty and sinful as we are and have been, Lord, You took us into your pristine, wonderful family, and you help us every day, God, although we are sinners. Help us and guide us, Lord, strengthen us. I pray again, once again, for this week ahead, Lord. I know everyone in here has a very busy week. I pray you'd strengthen us to keep you at the helm, let you control the car, let you control, Lord, there our lives. I pray for our fathers, grandfathers, our mothers and grandmothers. I pray you'd strengthen all of us, Lord, to be what we're supposed to be this week, Lord. Bind the adversary, keep your hedge about us, protect our church, Lord, and work in a great way. We love and thank you for a day that we could spend time in your house and be obedient to your word. Thank you. In your precious, holy, wonderful name, we do again pray. Jesus' name and amen. Amen. Thank you so much.